for her, if you would. We're continuing in Colossians, and we're about done. I may teach one more lesson in the next Wednesday night that we have the opportunity, but we're looking at this last section of Scripture, Colossians 4, verse 15, 16, 17, 18, the last verses of the chapter, last verses of the book. And really, this is just some closing statements that the Lord uses the apostle to write here. And I've mentioned before, I don't know how to explain everything because the Scripture says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost of God. But yet these books, these letters were giving and conveying rather personal sentiments to these people that were reading them as well. You say, how do you work all that out? I don't know. I'm glad I'm not God. I don't have to figure it all out. But it's God's word. It was inspired of Him. And but then the different people who were having their names mentioned here were getting some recognition, getting some introductions, and then getting some well wishes from the apostle as well. And I thank God for the miraculous aspect of the Word of God. So we're looking at verse number 15 at the last chapter of Colossians. The Bible says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you. Amen. Well, you may be saying, well, Pastor, what in the world are you going to preach on from that? Well, I just want to give a little bit of thoughts as we look into the end, and we'll give these next few moments to this. We see, I want you to see rather, the heart in these scripture passages, like just when we have difficulty getting off the phone sometime with somebody. Say, well, I need to get off, but then you hate to quit. You hate to give up the conversation. Well, it's almost in that somewhat similar way that the apostle is giving these words from God, of course, but giving them to these people as they're reading. And so as we look at that, we see that there's some instruction going on all the way to the very end, and I hope that that'll be a blessing to us as we look into it. Number one, I see in verse number 15, when Paul tells them to salute the brethren, there in Laodicea, Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And in those days, many of the churches would have been in the houses of people. We're pretty used to having houses or churches rather in buildings like this. There are many churches in the world going on in the houses of people. Sometimes it's for fear of persecution. Sometimes it's just out of necessity for other reasons. But there are perfect examples of that going on right now. And it may be, I hope not, it may be that in our nation we're not able one of these days to openly, freely worship like we are here, putting a sign out here that says this is a church and you come in without checking or without parking down the street and kind of sneaking in somewhere. I pray that it always stays this way, but it could be the other way. It's that way in other countries of the world right now. And so we see that they were meeting there, and they're though as they meet, they are still spreading the truth, and they're spreading also the love one to another. And I went to a pastor's fellowship just recently, and I got to spend time with other pastors who believe the Bible and they believe it's God's Word. And do they believe everything exactly alike? No. Do they do everything quite the same in their churches? No. But they're all fundamental pastors that believe the inspiration of the Scriptures, and they believe the Bible is the Word of God. And we had a good time of fellowship. Well, that's what we're getting into in verse number 16. When this epistle is read among you, cause that it also be read in the church of Laodicea. And so we see that they're supposed to be spreading the truth, because as they get this letter, they're supposed to be taking it to someone else and say, now here, you fellas, read it. And when you're done with that other one, give that one to us. Many Bible historians believe that that reference that is saying that we don't have a epistle to the Laodiceans. Laodicea is mentioned different times in the Scripture, but we don't have a letter there. A lot of historians believe that that's a reference to the book of Ephesians, which they would have also been benefiting from, that we do have that in the Word of God, and that when you get done with that, they're passing around. And then those Scriptures were copied and copied and copied and copied, and they were just continually kept around to let people get the benefit, of course, of the Word of God. But I see that these greetings are given to fellow believers, and sometimes I think that we forget that there's a reason why churches gather together. In this age which we live, you don't have to listen to me. You could have stayed home, and you could have listened to your choicest of preachers all across the world. And you could have had services that had more of a production, much more than we had. So you could have been mesmerized by any number of different presentations. But you understand that the Bible doesn't command that we come to church just because we're going to get wowed by what's presented up there on the platform or the stage. We come to church for a lot of different reasons, but one of them is the fellowship that we get. And that's what the Word of God says here, that that epistle is to be read amongst the churches back and forth, because that church over there is meeting and they're reading together. And likewise, when they get done with that, I want you to come over here. So we get to gather around the Word of God. And when you look at that, you see in verse number 15, salute that brethren and salute that brethren and tell that fellow hi. You remember the reference to the Andy Griffith Show, tell them Goober says, hey. Well, there's a lot of reasons why you come to church. And that's so that you can encourage somebody else, because there's the saluting of the brethren. You can send them a text, sure you can. But there's something about being together with people. You know, we learned that in our nation through COVID, how hard it was on folks that were in different facilities because we weren't allowed to go see them. And then the realization came on a lot of the medical field of how important that interaction was. And people were greatly harmed in their recovery because they weren't able to have personal touch and personal interaction. Well, that's the same thing in the Word, in the Scriptures, that it tells about people gathering together. So we see that greetings were given to fellow believers, even when Paul wasn't there, who he never did get to that church, but he wasn't there when this was written. Hadn't been there, I should say, but he still wanted to give greetings back and forth. But I want you to look on in verse number 17. Not only does he say to spread the truth and the love one to another, but he's telling this guy, Archippus, as far as I know, this is the only place he's mentioned here, he's giving this guy the instruction to fulfill his God-given ministry. And say to Archippus, tell Archippus that he needs to take heed, pay attention, be careful about it, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. What I'd love to see all of us do is be so close to the Lord that the Lord puts something on our heart and that we feel the impression to do it, not because somebody comes and pats us on the back for doing it, not because they check on us every so often just to make sure we are still doing it, and knowing that when we are doing it, maybe nobody will ever notice. But what I love is that when I find folks, and I do it quite often here at the church, I'll find that somebody is doing something to help somebody, and I never knew about it, and nobody else knew about it, really, because they weren't saying anything. It's just something that the Lord put on their heart. That's a wonderful thing. Well, Archippus here, as the Apostle Paul is used of God to tell him, says that ministry that God's led you to do, can I just tell you this? Whatever you're doing for the Lord, if we're doing it just as long as somebody applauds us, we're not going to do it very long. Because sometimes somebody's going to forget. Or they'll get mad and they'll say, well, if you don't notice me, I ain't noticing you. And we'll get petty back and forth. So we, you and I, we need to do what we do for the Lord. A friend of ours had that, he used to put this little saying in Bible school, who do you do the things you, why do you do the things you do? And who do you do them for? Do you do them for the praise of men or do you do them for the Lord? And so Paul is telling Archippus here, he says, take heed, boy, take heed to the ministry which God has given you. It's the received in the Lord. My dad, who's a man of few words on certain subjects, he talks a lot in other areas, but he sent me a note one time, had some cash, and he trusts the Postal Service because they're going to get that cash there. And it just came in a letter, and they did, the U.S. Postal Service. They get us every time. Neither snow, sleet, hail, or anything else going to keep that money from coming. And so Dad wasn't going to write a check. He just put some money, cash in there and put a note around it and said these words, keep at it. He's a man of few words on that one. And so Paul, maybe a few words to Archippus, because Archippus doesn't get much mention in the Word of God, but he had a clearly defined ministry, whatever that was, and it goes to show me that you and I don't have to have our name mentioned for God to be concerned or be interested in what I'm doing. If somebody knows that I pastor this church, then praise the Lord. If they don't ever know I pastor this church, I told you I went to that pastor's fellowship, and one person, oh, Brother Herdman, so good to see you. Praise the Lord. Thank God for your church. And went to this other guy, says, now, what's your name? So you get them both, and that's just fine. Because we're not supposed to be doing what we're doing just so people will recognize you. And we're supposed to be doing it for the Lord. So those little known areas of service, we understand that they're very, very important. Somebody says this, well, if that's the only place that fellow's mentioned, that ain't much. It's more than what we got. If you're going to choose mine, which is nothing, or his, just one little blurb, I'd take his. But I'm just saying that it's all important in the work of the Lord. So we see that fulfill, you ought to fulfill. God put something on your heart. Again, please don't wait till somebody comes along and pats you on the back for doing it. I'm thinking some of the good servants of the Lord here in this room, Miss Joyce, but I'm thinking about different people, and I won't start naming because I don't want to leave somebody else out. But you've been serving the Lord for years. Sometimes people say thank you many times, maybe even most times. They don't even mention it. But we're not doing it for them anyways. And so we ought to fulfill the God-given ministry. Then number three, I want you to see this as we get ready to close here in just a moment. Verse number 18. This is the second time that Paul says, remember my bonds. If I was in prison, I'd tell you to remember me as well. This, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Many of Paul's letters were dictated, and so he would have somebody else. He obviously had that eye issue, and maybe that's the reason. And one of them says, with such a large letter by his own hand, but this one as well had his signature on it. He said, this salutation by the hand of me, Paul. And he just gets right down to it. Don't forget I'm locked up. Remember my bonds. And can I just tell you that we ought to remember to pray for those that are in need? There is a great command and need in the it's just a great need for folks that are in a spot that they need to know that you and I are praying for them. I really do believe our missionaries when they say the best thing you can do is pray for us. The Reisingers who were here this past Sunday, and I want to talk to some of the leadership. I'd love for them to add them to our mission program here in the next little bit. But they really meant it when they said, I believe it. You could tell it from their hearts. We appreciate the love offering. Thank you for that. And thank you for the room. And thank you. They thanked us for everything. They thanked us for everything we did. They thanked us for stuff we didn't do. They thanked us for stuff we didn't even know had done to them. But they thanked us for all of it. But they really did mean, I could tell it from their sincere heart, they thanked us for praying for them. And I believe these missionaries really believe that. And so when Paul tells them, he doesn't say just, I don't believe he's meaning just, you remember that I'm not having it so well right now. Instead, he's asking them to remember me in prayer. They were asked to remember Paul's imprisonment there. And then he gives that final one, grace be unto you, be with you rather, amen. So just a simple little Bible study that, if you can catch a glimpse into the human side of Paul here, that he has only a human side, but the human side of the Word of God, it's such an interesting way that God's put it all together. And there really were these fellows that were mentioned and ladies in different parts of Scripture. But then he's getting down to that practical level of Christian living. He says, don't forget to pray for me. And now, as we've seen so many missionaries come through, I can see a little bit of the heart of Paul come through our missionaries, because they say, I don't know where we're going. As the Reisingers were going to the Amazon basin and go down there, and very little of what they're used to. We sat across the table from him, and he loves guns. He's a hunter, and he's got old vehicles and things. And so he said, well, I'm getting rid of all these things, just paring it all the way down to where he said we can't get a container into where it is down there. He said you'd have to go so far down south to get a container to a port, and then you'd have to somehow get it up there to where we're at. And so he says just getting rid of it. And you see the human aspect of the big picture comes down to a lot of small things that these people, these good missionaries, have to make sure all these T's are crossed, their I's are dotted, just to make sure they could even get over there. You know, it was just not long ago at all, Summer had her stuff out here in a container, and she just got to put what she's going to get over to Botswana in that container. If it's not in there, it ain't going. And it's just so interesting. It's a wonderfully blessing to see how the Lord moving on the hearts of people gets them, but every move they make takes these literal physical steps, just like we take, except in a different way because they've got a different agenda. And then I see that same thing coming out in the scriptures of the Apostle Paul as he says, this salutation's made by my own hand. And then remember me, I'm in bonds. And then he says, I've been praying, grace be unto you. He wouldn't say grace be with you without a lot of praying to know that he was asking God. He wasn't just saying, oh yeah, God bless you. You know from his other heart that's given in this epistle and other epistles, I have ceased not to pray for you. I've been praying, asking the Lord to bless you. And he is instructing until the very end. And then it gives the final amen of the book. After the instructions are over, he says, hey, get that letter from Laodicea. Bring it over here and read. And by the way, when you get yours read, take it over there. Tell Archippus to keep at it. Don't forget to pray for me. I've been in bonds for a while. I wrote this letter. You can hear those statements coming out. It's just a wonderful thing. And I think, though, the greatest lesson that we can learn is what the title is, and that is that God's word is always profitable. There's instructions all the way to the end. He's not wasting any time. God doesn't waste things. Praise the Lord for it. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the time to be in your house. Lord, thank you for the instructions from your word, just the simple aspects of the closing remarks in this book that you gave to the people of Colossae. And Lord, thank you. I certainly would never want to do anything to bring down the Word of God from its position of what it is, truly your Word. But Lord, you also allow there to be that side where it's just instructing humanity back in that day of giving people greetings. Lord, I'm just so amazed at all that. I pray that you would help us let the Word of God dwell in us richly as it's supposed to, and may it tonight, as always, change our lives. Lord, thank you for the time to be in your house. Bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? And we always give an invitation, even on a Wednesday night. If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come tonight. Maybe there was something in Miss Joyce's presentation, maybe something about that song when about giving your life, and maybe it's in the Bible study, something you'd like to come pray about, then you're certainly welcome to. We also never like to close a service without inviting you to come to Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, that wasn't a message about needing to be saved, but my friend, maybe you didn't need the message. You already know. If you're here tonight, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, not sure that Jesus is your Savior, would you step out and come and let me take a Bible and show you how you can be certain of that? As she just continues this verse, come home. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, please don't forget to pray as you go to bed tonight. Pray for the young people. They're probably already in bed. They're 5 hours ahead of us. Pray for their tomorrow's activities and Friday, and then they'll fly back on Saturday. So please keep them in your prayers that the Lord would give them safety and use them. And then we'll ask Miss Joyce, if you don't mind, to slip on back to your table, Miss Joyce, and you get by and see her and let her know how much you appreciate her coming our way, where she's been our faithful missionary for these many years, and we're grateful for her. And keep her in prayer. And then be praying for Brother Kelby Moore, as I mentioned, his stepmom going on to heaven. And we've got other people that we certainly need to keep up in our prayers. Pray for Mildred Hill and pray for Judy Whitson and pray for James Ketron and pray for the rest, the others that are in facilities around and down in Johnson City. And so pray for Miss Judy down there. And just keep each other lifted up in prayer. And if you can't sleep, meet Nathan Susong, 6 a.m. right here in the morning. If I'm not here at 6, Nathan, don't wait on me. You go ahead, okay? I'll be on directly. I won't be long, but I might not be here at 6, so you go on without me. Thank you so much for being in church tonight. I believe that's all we got. God bless you. You're dismissed. I'll get you to Steve.